1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. And we apologize. We are experiencing some technical difficulties with the Let's Face the Issues broadcast. We'll try to have that resolved as soon as we can.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had a technical interruption, but I'm thankful that we have the privilege of getting back to you before our time has expired today. We're looking forward to the dialogue and discussion that we'll have. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Melinda Gray today. We're looking forward to the dialogue and discussion as we're talking about her candidacy for the statewide committeewoman seat. Melinda, thank you so much for being with us. Let me just simply ask this question. As our listeners are participating in the dialogue and discussion, we're talking about the status of the Republican Executive Committee and what you see that needs to be done that is imperative to make a change. Quickly talk about that, and then we can go to our further discussion.
Yes, sir. So it's important to know that what gives me this information and how I'm able to find this stuff is I recently stepped down as the Research and Analysis Division Lead for an organization called County Citizens Defending Freedom. There they taught me how to follow the money. Mm-hmm. That involves PAC money, dark PAC money. Unfortunately, there is a Rules Committee chair that's been currently appointed to the Republican Party of Florida. He is in control of 97 dark money PACs at this time. These dark money PACs that I'm talking about are the ones that destroy the grassroots candidates in the primary elections. And they're the ones that fill our mailboxes up with nonsense and libelous information about our candidates. Mm-hmm. The issue with that is that, you know, you have these grassroots candidates that are out pounding the pavement every day for a year, 2 years, and then in the last leg of the race, they come out and they launch bombs at them with all these mailers and stuff, and there's no way to defeat that. Is it illegal? No.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Could it be made illegal? Could just by changing some simple rules?
Yeah,
it could. But unfortunately, no one's going to do that because unfortunately, that's how a lot of people got elected, using these dark money PACs. Mm-hmm. It is millions of dollars of access to them. No amount of money can beat it. You're going to have to beat them strategically and on the ground and beat them with the truth.
One of the things that I find is so relevant and real, just as you touched on, we have some what I call unscrupulous people running some campaigns.
Yes, sir.
In the state of Florida, on local level, the state level. And unfortunately, it is one of the major things that impacts the national level elections also. Tell us something about your campaign. Who's running it?
Me.
That's a good campaign director, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I did pretty good the first time. I will like to say, though, after we got through the primary, which we weren't supposed to do, according to what I've heard, I knew that all the attention would be focused on my husband's race. And it was an incredible, they showered us with false and libelous information. They weaponized many offices, the OGC, City Hall. They tried to draw my husband out of the district and put him in with, you know, someone else. But, you know, I was able to follow the money and see where it was all coming from. And the council people that were on the committee for the redistricting were all funding my husband's opponent.
Mm-hmm. When you get behind the scenes and find out what's happening, I've used the term seeing how the sausage is made.
Yes.
Once you see how the sausage is made, you don't want to eat sausage anymore.
It's disgusting.
It is, absolutely.
So what I did, though, is, you know, through CEF, they taught us to use Matthew 18.
Mm-hmm.
When your brother sins against him, tell him in private. You know, if he continues to do it, bring two or three with you. Tell him then. And if they continue to do it, you tell the church.
Right.
They still continue, you treat them like the tax collector.
That's right.
So I'm treating them like the tax collector. Nothing's happening. So that's the end of Matthew 18 as far as I can go. But then it's this seat presented itself, and I think that I could really tell the church there and make some voters aware. And if I don't think I'll be able to shame them.
Mm-hmm.
But I will be able to make voters and the members of the Republican Party understand what's happening. I don't think anybody would support this knowingly.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Melinda Gray today. Gay, not Gray. And we're talking about the seat of committeewoman for the state of Florida and her election campaign that's taking place. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to the question or comment, please.
Hello, Dr. Youngblood?
Yes.
Yes. Hey, it's James. Hey, Melina.
Hey.
I know Melina, and I just wanted to call in real quick and just let your listeners know that she is exactly what we need in the political arm of government looking over people. She did learn from the best about how to take things apart and where's the money coming from and so forth. And she's brave enough and she's a believer and strong enough in her faith that she is going to call out evil where she sees it. I would just tell you that for the listeners out there that don't think that people should get involved and, oh, this is politics, look back at Luke 13:31 and remember what Jesus said. Go tell that fox to, I think he was referring to Herod, who was the political ruler of Israel at that time. And a fox was not a really good animal in Middle Eastern times. It was a varmint that would go and steal things and run away hiding and raiding the chickens and so forth. He wasn't afraid of politics. He was a champion of the people that were picked upon, social justice warrior, if you will. And then look at the law of the land during that time was the Torah. Well, what's our law of the land? It's the Constitution. Well, look at from a biblical aspect, you had the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, of which I believe, Dr. Young, but Paul was one of. And so people that loved the Lord and wanted to follow him and listen, and was it Nicodemus and who was it, Joseph of Arimathea, is that it?
Arimathea.
Was the one that, Arimathea, who, and Nicodemus snuck in at night to talk to him because he knew deep down in his soul that this was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he wasn't afraid of the world's attacks. We can't live with one foot in politics and one foot in religion and think that that's not... We're not of this world. We're in this world, and yes, we're not of it. Our kingdom is in heaven. And we've already been adopted as sons and daughters of the King of the Most High God. But I would tell you that please read your Bibles. Understand that you are supposed to be involved. You don't have to go out and be belligerent or adversarial or mean-spirited about it. But don't compromise your issues. Learn. Read the Word and listen. Look at Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but yet you've neglected the more important matters of justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And that's part of it. The
hypocrisy. Well, James, I don't know. I'm prayerful that our listeners are hearing, but you're preaching to the choir, and I'm thankful for your stand on that. One of the things, James, that I find so incredibly unusual is that we have so many Christians today that somehow, some way, Christians and conservatives in general, patriots also, that believe that somehow, some way, don't worry about it. God's going to work it all out. We don't need to do anything about it. God's sovereign, and all of those things are valid and true. But we are still to be salt and light in a decay. Darkening world that we're living in. Salt and light means for salt we get out of the shaker. Light means we get out of the closet, out from under the bed, and let our light shine. And as we shine as Christians and conservatives, we're going to expose error. We're going to expose the deception that's taking place. And I believe every Christian needs to be more than any time, and I believe our lifetime in the history of America today, we need to be aware that our vote counts. Our vote makes the difference. And we need to vote based on principle, need to vote based on the Word of God, based on the authority of Scripture, and not based on political correctness and the woke view of society today. The woke view in society today means we're going to embrace all that's out there that is politically correct. And it's time that we stand against the political correctness and stand for truth in the society in which we're living in. James, you're on target. I'm thankful for your comments and for your input on the day's broadcast. Looking forward to what God is going to do in Melina's race as she continues to run the race. Thank you for your call. Melina, as we think about where you're running and what you're doing, explain why voters should select you over the present seat holder.
Okay, well, to be fair, I have two opponents in this race.
I didn't know that.
Yep, you don't ever hear about her. And she's a great woman. But it seems like the focus is between myself and the person who currently holds the seat. What I want to say is that I've sat in there and I've listened to her speak. I have a lot of respect for her. I think she's on target with what she's focusing on. She's a Christian woman. I think that the issue is, though, is that she's just unaware of what's going on. A lot of people don't understand what I'm talking about here with the dark money pack. During a candidate forum, she said it herself. I don't know what dark money is, but if it isn't illegal, we shouldn't be talking about it. I'm being accused of attacking Republicans on social media. and violating Reagan's 11th commandment. If I'm telling the truth about your voting record and it makes you look bad, whose fault is that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need. Is we need more transparency so that we know when we go to the polls to make a vote, we're not voting for the man who voted for the HRO or who voted for the gas tax or increased our property taxes, who did nothing when our monuments were removed, who refused to approve a waiver for the director of neighborhoods over some education, who refused to appoint, you know, Randy DeFore as our office of general counsel. These are Republicans. You can't say one thing and do another.
Right.
You either are or you're not. And then we got these guys that just approved all the stadium deal. Rather than the ones that voted yes, I would look harder at the ones that had to recuse themselves because mm-hmm. they stand to make a profit.
Absolutely. That's historically the case in Duval County.
Yes, sir.
I've been here for 40-some-odd years, and I have found that today, and I say this very openly, directly, and honestly, I believe I have the weakest, most liberal city council that I've seen in the time that I've been in Jacksonville. And I believe it's time that we stand up, speak up, and be heard as conservatives and Christians. And Melina, if elected, what would you do to implement changes, and what kind of changes would you want to implement?
Well, what I want to do is I want to restore accountability, integrity to the party. Accountability, we get these things like the candidates that get elected, and then they don't perform as we expect them to. They don't uphold our values. You know, they want our vote initially, but then they turn a deaf ear.
Then
to
they
us.
Forget us.
They forget us all too often. As far as integrity, when we're lying about each other and we're doing it just because we have $1 million to throw at your opponent, that's not integrity. That's deceitful. That's not our values. That's not what we represent. And you know, this has got to be called out. It's got to stop. And you're not going to just be able to tell them to stop, because what happens is that there's plenty of people inside of the REC yelling for it to stop. In 2023, I jokingly call that meeting the deadly Duval insurrection, because mm-hmm. it got pretty contentious. A lot of hollering. Norm Brewer went after one of them. I thought they were going to throw hands. It didn't come down to that, but we had 6 police officers in there. I thought we were the party of law and civility.
Mm-hmm.
Or we weren't at all. But these people were rightfully angry. You know, they had been lied about and manipulated about and then gloated about. You know, Alexander Pantanakis laughed on his called the grassroots candidates the loser caucus. If you think winning is cheating, you're no better than the dude dressed up in a bathing suit swimming with the women saying mm-hmm. you beat them.
Yes,
that's cheating.
There's no
integrity there. We got to get it back. You know, at this point, you know, we won our race. I should be gone playing pickleball somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, and enjoying the win. But I can't, because God has let me see this. And I know that if I don't speak up and I don't come back and I don't do all that I can, I will be held accountable.
Absolutely. Melina, what can our listeners do to hold your hands up to assist you in the race? What can they do at this juncture? What would you recommend? How do they reach you?
Okay, so I have a website. It explains more about my background and experience. It's mgay2024.com. You can email me, electmg2024@gmail.com. I have a social media, Facebook account. I encourage you to reach out to me if there's anything I can do, any questions you have. I love to talk. I love to teach. I'm big on election integrity. What we need to know is that this is actually the people's election. This is me, you, your neighbors, your church family, your members. This is something I got to say, too. I have been allowed to go into churches and speak before congregations Sunday after Sunday. I owe a lot of that to Mr. Raymond Johnson, who is a thorn in my side sometimes, but I love him. He means well, but he is like a little gnat on me sometimes. But it has put me in a position to be able to reach to the churches, and there's power in the churches. We need to get out. If those congregations went in there and started voting, that's powerful.
Amen.
That's the last thing they want to see. So when I go in front of the church and I'm talking to people and I'm telling the truth, and I have a preacher behind me who's backing me up, there's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more powerful than the truth, and that's what we need to do.
Amen. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please. Nathan, Hello. Are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. How are you?
Good. Go ahead. Read the question or comment.
Dr. Youngblood, this is Nathan Tocco.
I'm doing well. I'm Nathan Tocco. I'm actually running for the other seat as committee man, and I just wanted to give Melina a shout-out and say that she's been a very good friend of the family. She's a strong woman, and she is principled, and she is the one for this seat. We need her in there.
Do you believe then what you're saying is it's time for change in the right direction? Is that what you're saying, Nathan?
Absolutely, and I think Blake, your earlier caller, hit the nail on the head when he said we need unity in principle. And what we're seeing right now, and I watched the RNC, I watched the convention, and I've looked at what the new platform is for the party, and they specifically excluded any mention of abortion or marriage being as defined between a man and a woman. And it's in order to win. So what I ask is, what's the point of winning if we're going to sacrifice our principles? And furthermore, I kind of understand that people want to be pragmatic, and you have to win the election first. Okay, I get all that, but there's a microcosm here in Jacksonville of that not working out very well. And I think we saw it in 2023 with the mayor's race, how, these Republicans who passed the HRO, like Melina mentioned, and the taxes, have just not done their job, and they lost a lot of the Republican base with that in that last election. It didn't work out very well. So not only did they sacrifice principles, they're also not winning elections. So I don't think the pragmatism argument holds any water.
You're exactly right. In fact, I go back to my statement that I have. It's the statement that I've worn out. When you talk about reaching across the aisle, you're talking about compromise. And compromise is not what God would have us to do in any area walk of life, whether it be in the pulpit or in the stadium speaking to or addressing an audience on a political issue. I believe it's time that we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. But I think it's time that we go back to the reimplementation of non-compromise in our position. Most are looking for the win and not for the stand of integrity in the winning. So, Nathan, thank you so much for your call. God bless you. Thank you for your comments. Melania, let me ask you a question. What would you do to restore accountability and transparency in the office? What would you do in relationship to those two major areas and integrity?
First of all, I'd start by holding our elected officials accountable. I believe that if we start, and I'm not saying disparage them, I'm just saying let their records speak for themselves.
That's right.
That be it a dashboard, be it mailers or whatever, mailers will never happen. But we should have some type of way to let voters know who these people are and how they voted. We need to do a much better job at vetting our candidates. Vetting is huge, something I do very well. There's not a whole lot I do very well, but I do vet candidates very well. Just because someone enters the race and has an R behind their name doesn't mean squat.
Absolutely. You're speaking to the choir now. I've seen that down through the years
too many times.
Melina, let me ask you a question that I believe our listeners would like to hear. Take a moment and tell us who has publicly endorsed you for this campaign and why is that important?
Well, I don't have any of the GOP establishment endorsements, if that tells you anything. I mean, although my husband is an elected official, he better endorse me. I haven't asked him for it. I honestly haven't asked for any endorsements from any elected officials. This is a seat that is going, I'm representing the people, not the GOP. When I make decisions, when I vote on something, I'm going to be thinking about the moms, the dads, my friends, my family, myself, you, me. I'm not going to be thinking about the lobbyist or the consultant. So I haven't even approached the elected officials. But who has come forward for endorsements with me, Al Ferraro.
Mm-hmm.
Our former city councilman.
Al's a good man.
Yes, he's a wonderful man who was treated very badly by our party. And his truth needs to come out. I'm a strong advocate for him. The things that happened to him during his election go way beyond. It's another radio show, honestly, Dr. Youngblood.
That's right.
I've been endorsed by Gary Cross, former St. John's County GOP chair. I've been endorsed by Chaplain Jerry Woodham, Pastor Wade Mask, Biblical Concept Ministries, First Coast Election Integrity, and about 20 faith-based organizations and leaders. And I believe you're part of that one, Mr. Thank you. No, but it speaks to me. To
Absolutely.
Me, it does. I would rather have those endorsements than anything else in the world. I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump himself endorses my opponent, because I know that he's not making those endorsements. Miss Susie Wiles is.
Mm-hmm.
Read that in an article today at USA Today. Those endorsements are not coming from Trump. It is coming from his administration.
His handlers. Melina, I understand that you'll be participating in a candidates forum. Tell our listeners where that'll be, when it'll be, and the date of that, what time it will start, and so forth.
Okay, so this is a candidate forum that's being put on by Citizens Defending Freedom. Pastor Copeland at Hogan Baptist Church has agreed to open his sanctuary and host all the candidates that are running in the countywide election. You can expect the school board candidates, myself, Nathan Toko. I don't know if the opponents are going to show. They are invited. I hope they do. We have a lot to talk about. That address is 8045 Hogan Road, Jacksonville 32216. You can find that information just from 6:30 to 8 p.m. I think I've covered all that stuff.
They can find that on your website, correct?
Yes, sir.
Give them that website address again.
Okay, so it's mgay2024.com.
mgay2024. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Melina Gay today. She's the candidate for the councilwoman, or the
State committee woman.
Yes, I'll get that right.
Yes, sir.
For the state of Florida. We're looking forward to what God is going to do in our campaign and our race. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. The Florida-Georgia Truth